Hi, I'm Connie Hsu from Erie.
And I'm Jim Antonacci from Philadelphia. And you're listening to
White Canes Connect.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 2 of White Canes Connect. I'm David Goldstein from the Keystone Chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania, and this is the first of 2 National Convention episodes. Along with me today, as always, is co-host Lisa Bryant. Lisa, how are you today?
Hi, David. Happy to be on again, and so excited to not only have our second show, but a two-parter.
That's right. And without further ado, let's get to the interview with Jim and Connie. You know, since it's convention time, we wanted to have a couple of long-standing convention goers to National Convention. And Lisa, we have a couple of folks with us tonight that have represented the NFB of Pennsylvania for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. We have some, as they would say, OGs with us, Connie Hsu and Jim Antonacci. Each have been going to National Convention for about 30 years. So no novices here. So I'm sure they have lots and lots to share with us. So looking forward to talking to both of you guys. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. I'm doing good.
So I guess, Connie, let's start with you.
Okay.
Do you remember your first convention, where it was, when it was?
Yeah, well, and thank you for inviting me. I do want to say that. I was excited
our pleasure.
To do this. Thank you. First convention, in thinking about that, I'm going back in my mind, and I remember my first state convention. I guess it was 91, somewhere 91 or 93. And then my first national convention was like 93 or 94. I think it was in Atlanta, Georgia. I think that was the first one. I know it was in the 90s. And I think Atlanta was the first one. Atlanta, Georgia. And wow. And I'll tell you, I was kind of nervous for my first convention. You know, you go to a state convention and you've got, you know, maybe 100 and some people. And you go to national and it's thousands of people. And so I remember I was excited about it. I found it really, really empowering to be mm-hmm. in such a large group of blind and visually impaired people, because I'm a person, it seems like, you know, most of us, I think we're everywhere we go, we're like the only blind person, unless it's an NFB meeting or something, we're the only blind person. Wherever we go, if we visit a museum, if we go on a cruise, wherever we go, we're usually the only blind person. So it was really, wow, amazing to go to a convention and have thousands of people. So I thought that was pretty awesome. And I learned a lot. I remember my first convention. I learned, you know, what general session was like. I learned, how to get around a huge hotel. I mean, usually I didn't go to places that large. And so that was exciting. I met a lot of people and I found it so empowering. I had to keep going back.
And speaking of that first one, did you travel on your own or did you go with someone and other blind folks, sighted folks? How did you go about that?
Actually, I had met a woman in Erie. She had been going for a few years and I met her at an event in Erie and she got me introduced and she says, you've got to go to convention. You've got to go. So yeah, I did go with her and we even shared a room to cut expenses and stuff. And so she kind of oriented me into it. And I found that personally very helpful because it can be a little overwhelming. So I really liked that. And like I said, I've met a lot of people. So it was great. Oh, exhibit hall. Oh my goodness. I found that amazing. I know I bought a bunch of stuff in my early years at convention because there's so many things and you're like, wow, I didn't know they had these kind of things. In fact, I bought a puzzle one time, a wood puzzle that was in all these different shape pieces. And I had a niece that took it apart. And just last year, we finally got it together. It was getting old, but we finally got it together. But I didn't know they even had.
So wait, Connie, you mean that puzzle that you bought all those years ago, you just finally finished it the first time last year?
I'm telling you, I had my sons were over, my daughters-in-laws. One time I told my daughter-in-law they couldn't go home until they got that puzzle put back together. And she says, we might as well sell the house, you know? So of all people, last year, my grandson, he's like a master at doing puzzles. So my 13-year-old grandson was over and I gave him a couple little puzzles I had. And he's, Grandma, don't you have anything more difficult? Oh, you want something more difficult? I've got it for you. And I got that wood puzzle out. It was three levels high. It was in the shape, like six-sided figure, three levels high. And I said, I've had this for years. I got it at National Convention. Nobody can put this thing back together. He took about an hour and he says, I did it. I couldn't.
That is fantastic.
I could not believe it.
What a story.
Yeah.
Did you take a picture of it?
You know, I wish I did, but when he's coming back the end of this month and I'm going to have him put it together again, I'm going to have to take a picture of it.
So this is the kid that could probably sit down and figure out Rubik's Cube, huh?
Oh, he can do those. He's got one that's got three different size cubes and it's mirrored, no colors to it. It's mirrors. He can, I don't know how he does it. I tried it and I was totally lost. But I don't know, this, my grandson, I don't know where he gets this, but it's amazing. He can just do it so fast.
Wow.
That's incredible. Wow. Jim, what about you? What about your first convention?
Well, yeah, I remember my first convention, which was my first state convention was the same as Connie's, which was 1991. I remember that because I remember that you asked about how to get there. Two Philadelphia chapters got together and rented a bus, and it was an overnight bus because it was in Erie and I live near Philadelphia. So the idea was that we got together in front of a spot at a certain spot in Philadelphia, and the bus pulled out at 7 p.m. or something like that and arrived in Erie the next morning. So we tried to get some sleep on the bus, but you know how difficult that is. So it, the first day was really a wipeout, but Connie's right. You know, then I decided, okay, National Convention was a good shot. And again, we had a bus trip, and I'll tell you, from Philadelphia to Charlotte, North Carolina, I think that's about the longest bus trip I really want to take. But we got there, and now that was interesting because unlike Connie's experience, mine was indeed overwhelming. And that's because, first of all, the Charlotte convention was very different compared to many of the other national conventions that we've had. Charlotte, instead of having one single large hotel and we work everything out of it as we do for national conventions since then. Charlotte we needed four hotels in Charlotte to accommodate everyone. One of the hotels had a sky bridge directly to the convention center in Charlotte. Another one was a block away. A third one was two or three blocks away. And a fourth one was about five or six. And they had shuttle buses going around from hotel to hotel and all that. So you know, when you have thousands of people having to get to one spot for a meeting, and especially that it was, think about thousands of people, you know, trying to use the same escalator, and it just to go to a meeting or from a meeting or whatever.
Right.
The other thing is that that we've done that is very different now. In those days, first of all, there was a pre-convention. There was pre-convention information, and they would put that out in Braille, and you could pick that up as you checked into your hotel, and it would give you some basic locations and times for some early meetings, but you did not get the full convention agenda till you registered. And at that time, registration, you had to, everybody had to line up and on the first day and go through huge lines and pay your money and all that stuff. And then you would get a Braille convention agenda. There was no such thing as electronic media in those days handed out. You had two choices, Braille and large print. Mm-hmm. So if you couldn't handle Braille and you couldn't handle large print, boy, you had trouble. And although I was doing Braille, I was doing it slowly. And what I found out was is that I got my agenda. And then, of course, the first thing I did was run back to my room, and possibly with some other people or whatever, we'd get together and we'd start looking for, okay, now let's find today and let's find out what's going on. And by the time you'd figure out in your slow Braille, here's a fantastic meeting, except that it started a half hour ago and we'll never make it there till the end. Now, of course, we have electronic media. And what I would do is once we could start getting them the first time we did it, that you could get them on floppy disks. So what we did was we found out that now with electronic, with national conventions, that the national convention has the same basic format of days and times as to approximately when things happen. You know, the actual content changes, but you know the basic format or the times and days of the meetings are extremely similar. So you can use a previous year's convention agenda to give you an idea of what's going on this year or next year. So we would we would save those, and then we would give them to people months ahead so that they could plan. And now that we have the agendas are done anywhere from a month to 3 weeks ahead of the convention, you can then download the real convention agenda electronically and use your screen readers and then see exactly what you're doing. So it's a lot better. I will tell you that my first year was a whirlwind. And I went with other people who had been to convention, but they didn't get into the total experience. They would be hit and miss. And what would happen is that I because of that, I didn't really get the entire convention experience for at least a year or two. Mm. Finally, at about the third year, we had it all figured out. And at that point, things worked out.
You know, I'm listening to you, Jim, talk about getting your schedule together, and I'm thinking, man, we have come such a long way, because now we have this app. I don't know about you guys. I really like it, where you can just, you know, use VoiceOver to read the different events, add it to your schedule, set a reminder. Are you, Connie, are you using the app?
Absolutely. I love the app. And Jim's right on. I mean, I do remember those Braille schedules. I mean, I couldn't read the print anymore. And I would get that. I mean, it was inches thick, that schedule that you would get all of everything. And I, too, am not the the best Braille reader. I didn't learn Braille until an adult. And I struggled through too. And I would dog ear, you know, make little doggy ears, you know, the page and so forth. Or sometimes I'd even tear the page off. So I don't have to look at that or try to, you know, mark where I am. So I don't have to keep looking back, because it was not easy to read that long schedule. I love the app. I've already scheduled all my days for the upcoming convention.
Oh, you're ahead of me. I think I got through Tuesday.
you're all ahead of me then.
Yeah, I do what Connie does, in a sense that when we're actually going to a convention, rather than the virtual conventions that we had last year and this year, what I would do is I would sit down and start going through the agenda on my computer and using the screen reader on the computer, and then say, okay, yes, here's one that I want to go to. So I would copy and paste it to another document. So I'd have the full agenda, and then I'd have a My Agenda file. Mm-hmm. And then that's the way we'd put it together. And that's the other thing, Lisa, if you remember when you first went, mm-hmm. and we said to you, you know, if what we can do is we can assign people to you, or, you know, have people who can explain things, or here's some good stuff that you might want to attend. I remember doing that with you a few years back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Connie and I never had those, that mentoring that we now have. So it's, we do a good bit of that now, which makes convention a much less daunting experience, and it allows you to do a great deal more.
Mm-hmm. I've also attended a few of the rookie roundups, and I think those have helped too, you know?
Yeah. Those are also quite new.
Yes.
You know, I think we've only been doing those over the last 10 years or so.
Yeah. And I think they're great. I think they're great. I like that. And, you know, I've gone to a few of them. I did the virtual one last year too.
What are some of the reasons that you guys have been coming back year after year after year? What compels you to keep going to these conventions?
Well, I'll get in there. I like going back. Well, I learned a lot about General Session. That was another thing that I've learned as I went. You kind of learn, like Jim was saying, how things are set up. And you start to feel more comfortable about going back. The first one, like he said, can be overwhelming, but you learn how things are set up. And, you know, Session or General Session is set up, you know, alphabetically, and there's flags and there's Braille, and so you can find it. And, you know, you learn that people will even help sometimes calling out, you know, Pennsylvania. And so people can find you, you know, because it's so large. But I like that. I got used to it, and I like it. And I met people, and then you go back because you want to see the people you met. You don't get to see them all year. So it gives you a good chance to go back and see the people that you know. So I like the news that we get at General Session. We always get new information. You're like, wow, I didn't know that. And so you get all that new information. You get an idea on how the organization is run by attending the board meeting, and you get to vote. And then, oh yeah, and I always love the exhibit hall. So, and oh yeah, and another thing I'd say that kept me going back too is going to division meetings, which I have to say have changed for me over the years, because, you know, I'm not as young as I was 30 years ago.
None of us are. It's okay.
30 years ago, I was employed. federal employee, and I would go to the public employees division meeting. And that was an excellent thing to do because there were people doing positions similar to myself. So there were people there from the IRS, from Social Security, from CDC, you know, different branches of the federal government. And wow, they were dealing with problems similar to mine, you know, and struggles similar to mine. And you realize you're not alone. And like I said, I think all of that and being around so many blind and visually impaired people, you're not alone. It's like, it's just empowering, I think.
Yeah.
You kind of recharge your battery.
As Connie has said, that first of all, at first, when you say, well, you know, why do you want to come together, especially thousands of people and all that? Well, first of all, there's something empowering about not being the minority. Mm-hmm. When we as blind people, walk through town or in jobs or whatever, obviously blindness is a low incidence disability, and therefore, you know, we're always going to be the minority. But for a change, when you're out there, when you're in a hotel and you're moving around and there's 3,000 blind people and the sighted people are the minority. Mm-hmm. So for that in and of itself is empowering when you say, wow, there's, you know, I'm just like everybody else out here. And, you know, that makes it just the attitude is totally different. You feel like I'm on top now. That's really terrific. Meeting with friends people that you've made friends with in previous years is another thing to be able to link up with those people. In fact, I tend to add maybe an extra day either at the beginning or end or even both, just so that we can get together with friends that we've made or people that we've made friends with and from other states, and you know, either go somewhere or, you know, get together and find out what's happened in our own areas and what, you know, what's different, compare notes and all that. That's a big thing. The as Connie mentioned, divisions. Now, a division in the National Federation of the Blind is basically a special interest group. And we may have specific purposes for these divisions. And one of the divisions that I always enjoy is the National Federation of the Blind in computer science. Being a tech guy or whatever, I really enjoyed going to see, you know, what kind of strides were we making. And I can still remember the first NFB in computer science meeting that I went to. And they had a vice president from Microsoft there, and they were grilling them as to why Microsoft dared to put out an operating system that had a browser that didn't work properly with a screen reader, and how fast were they going to get that working so that blind people had access to the web. And I mean, I thought, you know, I would have never thought to, you know, be tough on somebody like a Microsoft or whatever. It's,
but like you said, he was the minority then. He's the sighted guy, right. So he's on our turf now.
Right. It's hard to beat up on the 100-pound gorilla in the room unless you got you got 100 other people who are helping you beat on that person. And at that point, you know, you can make some very, you know, you come up with some very tough questions that they need to answer. We have divisions for parents of blind children. We have divisions for the use of Braille. We have all kinds of different divisions. As Connie mentioned, the Federal Employees Division, There's a human services division for people who are employed as in human service fields, rehabilitation professionals. That's another division. There's all types of divisions that get into all kinds of different areas, and you can come up with a lot of people. Now then, Connie mentioned a term called general sessions, and this is where it's a combined, it's one large meeting when there, and there are specific agenda items for that, that have basic interest to everyone. And again, we can do things. For example, I can still remember having an undersecretary of education for the national or for the federal government come. And again, you know, there were some very tough questions asked of that person as to why they did not follow through with certain promises made by elected officials or certain that they had agreed upon and then came back and did not. So, you know, we've had really, you know, we can put people on the spot when we need to. And again, it's tough to I hate to use the word lie, but it's tough to lie to people when there's 3,000 folks out there and they all know better.
Yeah.
So, you know, you tend to get your point across quite well. We've had members of Congress, both senators and representatives. We had a sitting Secretary of Education attend national conventions, both virtually and in person. We've had, you know, we were told about fantastic achievements that we've made either in legislation or in court cases over the previous year. There's just so many things that are part of the convention experience, and it's just phenomenal. You tend to learn so much. It's all packed into a week, and you know, I've known a lot of other people who go to conferences or conventions, and they have these light schedules, and they have a lot of free time plugged in, and you know, where they can go off to visit this thing or that thing or whatever. And I look at a convention schedule and say, 6 days, and look at this. The meetings start at 7:30 in the morning, and they don't end until 11 o'clock at night. And there still isn't enough time for me to do everything.
Well, right. Jim, don't you find sometimes you've got two or three things that you want to do, and you just can't do them all?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was one of my kind of.
You have to.
Go ahead, Jim.
What you have to do there is you have to find a friend who's going to one and you're going to the other. And then what you have to do is you have to get together and sit down and have a lunch or a dinner and say, now, what did you see? And then, you know, you tell them what you saw so that you can explain those things back and forth.
That's a great idea. That could be, we were going to talk at the end about what advice you might have for first timers. That's an excellent one. Cause well, that was kind of my struggle, or I won't say complaint, but my struggle is, you know, there were a couple of times where there were two or maybe even three really interesting meetings going on simultaneously, and that I had to miss out on anything. I didn't
actually
want to miss
as a state president. It was fantastic because I could, for the longest time, I would find people in the affiliate who, and I'd say, you know, someone, we need to make sure someone from our affiliate gets to this meeting to find out what's new or what's going on with this, and then bring it back and report to us. And then if it was, and then take that information and then maybe present it to our state board of directors or make a presentation at a state convention later in the year so that they could bring that information back to the general membership. So that's the type of thing that we would do.
You know, you had both mentioned going to the conventions being so empowering. And I think the NFB in general is that way, where you feel that you're not alone and, you know, you learn from someone who has maybe done something where you've had issues with. And it just, it just plays upon that with, you know, having a whole bunch of people and sitting around and talking, similar to what we're trying to do, you know, with this show, where, you know, maybe Greater Philly is doing something that the Capital chapter says, hey, that might be a great thing for us to try. And, you know, it just helps everyone move forward with things. And like you both said, you make friends from all around the country and you learn from them and learn about their parts of the country and whatnot. As far as conventions go, what's been your favorite city to go to? Connie, let's start with you.
Favorite city. I've liked a lot of them. I've been, you know, to Atlanta and Louisville, Kentucky, and Dallas, and of course, Orlando. And at the one we can't forget the one in Pennsylvania. That was that was one of our best ones too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'd have to say it was actually a toss up between Philadelphia, and I liked Orlando, but that's kind of cheating because, you know, I took a day and went to Universal Studios.
Okay.
But I like that. But then I think back and I did in Dallas, and I'll never forget this. In Dallas, I took one of the tours and went to a rodeo. And I had never been to a rodeo. So that was a real different experience.
Yeah.
So that's a really tough question. But I'd say it's between Philadelphia and Orlando. I mean, Philadelphia had a lot of history. So I got to see some of that when I was there.
And that's the thing, when you find that a convention is going to be in a certain city, like Jim was mentioning, sometimes they'll make plans outside of the convention time to go to places. I know when I found out it was going to be in Vegas a couple of years ago, I thought, oh, I want to do this and this and this. And, you know, because of travel issues with my airline, that all didn't happen. But, you know, I got one thing in and
the zip line.
Yeah, the zip line, exactly. That kind of helps things out too, right? When you say, oh, we're going here, I want to try this or I want to do that.
Well, some of the cities where they've had, like I said, you know, they had tours. I mean, we all got on a bus and went to the rodeo and we went to a steak dinner down there. And that's kind of neat because, you know, you're all piling on a bus and you know where you're going, and you know, it's just a neat thing. Everything's set up, you know. So I enjoy that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Jim, what about you? What's your favorite town?
Boy, that's tough. I've been to so many also as Connie, because I loved every city that I went to where I could schedule going to a major league baseball game.
Oh, great.
I've been to so many different major league ballparks because of being at a convention, that it's been fantastic. However, as Connie said, Philadelphia was fantastic. It had so much within a short distance that was available. But at the same time, I'll tell you what I really think that I really will enjoy going back New Orleans.
Okay,
that will be scheduled, I believe, for next year, for 2022. We were in New Orleans and last in 1997. I do remember a lot of things, you know, a lot of places that we went in Orlando. I can still remember you know, sitting at the Café du Mans, having beignets and coffee with friends, and going to Pat O'Brien's and having a group sing in with hundreds of people. And that was another, drinking Hurricanes. That was another fantastic evening. So, the swamp tour, you know, where they actually took us out in a swamp boat.
Oh, wow.
And they enticed alligators to swim up and around.
Oh,
to,
my gosh.
So you could check them out.
Yeah, and I could have done without that.
Things like that. But as Connie indicated, I remember Dallas going to a trail ride where we actually went around, and I think we did some horseback riding, and then we got together and had a cookout on the trail, and then sat around or stood around and checked out. How many blind people actually have been able to walk up to, you know, a cattle or put your hands on them and figure out what they actually are like as far as size and shape and feel and all hide and all that business. And, these are all experiences that we've had at national conventions that in fact, I know a couple years ago, as David indicated, Las Vegas, I know people who went out to the dam out there and near Las Vegas, and the Hoover Dam, and other places in and around the area. However, one thing I want to make sure I get it in there, and that is that when you really think of conventions, you know, we've hit many, many things about convention, national convention, but here's the one point that not one of us has made yet. And I think this is the reason why we've had in-person conventions since 1941. And that is that the convention in and of itself is the supreme authority of the National Federation of the Blind. Unlike other areas which might be, you know, whether it's the United States government or other organizations where you have a governing body and everybody says, well, the president decides all this for you. And that's not the case here. What happens is that any member, any individual member of the National Federation of the Blind is entitled to write what we call a resolution, which indicates that for specific reasons, and they are delineated in the resolution, that this needs attention. And therefore, we as an organization will do A, B, C, or D to correct these things or whatever, you know, whatever action is necessary by the organization. And if those members at the organization vote to pass that resolution, then that becomes one of the tenets of the organization. That's what the organization does. And that directs our leadership members want the organization to go or what items they want the leaders to work on. A lot of people say that this is not just an organization of followers, that every one of us has input into what the organization does and what it should do. And that's the way in which it's done. There's all the resolutions are read fully so that everyone has a chance to hear every one of them. And then they're voted upon. And I'll tell you, they're not slam dunks. I've been at many conventions where I said, well, that's terrific. And that's going to, you know, I can see that'll pass. And all of a sudden we find out that there's all types of a debate about it, and it may not pass. So it's, you know, but again, the convention in and of itself is the supreme authority of the organization. And that's probably why we go even more than anything.
And, yeah. And you know, I think, Jim, you're right on there. That's actually, I think, one of the things a lot of times first-time convention goers don't realize that. And it sometimes takes a couple years before you actually, well, what are they doing in resolutions? What's all this hubbub? And I don't think I went to resolutions the first convention I went to. But anyway,
I agree. I didn't either for the first 2 or 3 years until I realized how important
yes,
it was.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why it's a good point that you just made.
Yeah, we get all wrapped up in all the information that we can get and all of the contacts we can make and all that, that we don't realize that that's also such an important part of it.
Yeah. So those first timers out there, don't get so distracted with the different divisions and hooking up with other people in other states. Make sure you are a part of those resolutions and voting with your affiliate and just knowing ahead of the game what's going to be coming down the pipe, because it is serious. I noticed this, a lot of the resolutions are later brought up. They become a part of the focus of Washington Seminar. So they're not just kind of, you know, when it's not just play, there's some real serious work that's being done at the convention.
Right. And I kind of think, Lisa, if you remember, when we sat through the voting on, you know, I guess that's part of general sessions, right? That was the last
right.
night. You know, how exciting and how close some of the votes
I
were. Remember
that.
How fun that was? I mean,
yeah. It was so fun.
I mean, it was just outstanding.
And you know, you have those images of, you know, the political conventions,
right.
You know, where people are separated by their state. And it was just like, wow, this is so cool. This is a close I'll get to any kind of political convention. But I was, when you were going through the different cities, I was wondering if there's a city that you've not been to, you'd like to see the convention held at a particular city. Connie?
Well, I am looking forward to New Orleans. And mm-hmm. I was excited that they, you know, we did Las Vegas and let's see, is there another city though?
And I would think in 30 years, like there's probably not too many left that we haven't covered, right?
You know, but I don't know that we've ever done one in California. I mean,
yes, we have. Anaheim.
Oh, did we?
Yes, Anaheim. And people went to Disneyland.
Okay.
Huh. And you know, being an East Coaster, everybody on the East Coast goes down to Florida to Disney World, but people went to Disneyland out in California. I went to a baseball game in Anaheim. That's how I know. I missed the one that the LA Dodgers had.
Okay. You know, it's funny that you mention, you know, where you would like to go. I know, Lisa, we were sitting next to one another when they mentioned mm-hmm. in Las Vegas where the next one was going to be, and it was supposed to be in Houston mm-hmm. last year. And you
yes.
said something like, you know, why do they pick all these hot cities to go to in the middle of summer? And I was thinking, and you said, the first thing you said was, why couldn't they pick Seattle? And then a couple of days ago, and it was so hot in Seattle, I have a friend
yeah.
traveling there, and I'm thinking, what if it were that week, you know, when they're doing the convention and it's that hot, and
yeah.
it just made me chuckle out
well,
loud.
There is a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is pricing.
Yep.
Been noted for is the fact that the NFB, because we have so many people who attend convention, first of all, we need to be in a large enough city that it has a hotel or hotels that are large enough to take on the entire convention population. Philadelphia was so large
mm-hmm.
in 2001 that what occurred was that we sold out the convention hotel, which was the largest in Philadelphia, and I mean thousands upon thousands of rooms, ended up having to get into another hotel across the street from it. I believe Anaheim was the same way. There were so many hotel rooms used that we had to overflow into another. But you see, that's the other thing, is that we try to keep everything compact so that our hotels have to be big enough that they have a ballroom large enough to hold 3,500 or 4,000 people, as well as be turned over so that we can have a banquet that holds thousands of people at the same time. Right. And the other thing is that if you go in the summer, then the places that are cheapest will be down in the south where it is hot. If for example, we decided to change the convention time to being in the winter, then obviously it would be easier to get hotels that are up north, and that's the other possibility. So this is a lot of it. I couldn't believe how inexpensive the hotel rooms were for a national convention. Even now at the rate of about $100 or $110 a night or whatever, it's close to impossible to get rates like that. If you know of other people and other organizations that attend conventions and conferences, and you tell them how inexpensive our rates are, they just can't imagine those rates being that cheap. So it's
right. That's good insight.
That's one of the reasons why we do it. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing, is that we as an organization help people to attend these conventions. We believe that they're so important for our membership that we have a national fund that helps to defray the cost of attending a national convention. We can actually reduce the cost by making a grant to people who have never been to a convention before. Many affiliates, and I know the NFB of Pennsylvania has helped people even over and above that national fund to attend a convention. I know that many of our leaders in Pennsylvania came as young people, they're, you know, just out of high school or whatever, college people who were being helped by the affiliate to come and experience a convention. So that's how much we believe that the convention experience is that important. Yeah. You might say that we put our money where our mouths are.
Well, I don't know about you, Jim, but I mean, myself, I wish that I had known about it way before 1991. I mean, you know, I think the younger that people get in and get involved, the earlier they learn what really works best for blind people, and they learn to advocate better for themselves.
I agree, Connie. Unfortunately, although I've been blind since the mid-60s, I did not come across the National Federation of the Blind until the beginning of the 1990s. And it isn't until you're part of an organization like that that you realize how much power you can wield as part of an organized movement, and that you can make positive changes. You know, people say, well, what kind of changes are we talking about? Well, here we are, folks. Connie has indicated that she was a federal employee. Back when the NFB was formed in 1940, the federal government would not allow a blind person to take a civil service test. Their reasoning behind that was, well, it's common knowledge that blind people can't do anything in an administrative capacity or whatever. So therefore, they would never be able to do any positive work for the government. So therefore, why even bother allowing them to take the test? And it was efforts of the National Federation of the Blind that caused that to be changed, and many other employment practices to be changed.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if you each have some keepsake or some way you memorialize, because Jim, you can rattle off these different years in different cities, probably because you get to go to the baseball, the ballparks. But do you have it some other way that some other thing, like, do you have every convention book from 1991? What sort of little keepsakes have you kept over the years?
Myself, I'm not into really keeping keepsakes. I've kind of, you know, I think for a while I was keeping some things, but
yeah,
I've learned as I get older, it's, I want to get rid of things.
Yeah.
I like to declutter. So I really can't say that I have keepsakes. I know I would not keep those big thick agendas. I mean, it's just too much stuff to keep. So I don't.
Maybe
Jim does.
actually, I have, I believe, every electronic agenda that was put out. And because they take up such little room on your hard drive that I could, if people were to, if someone were to say to me, that they'd like to research what kind of things were on our agendas in the past, I could say here they are, and have fun, and let them look that stuff up. As far as I mean, there's probably little tidbits here and there, but Lisa, I've had also a slightly different experience in that. For 17 years, I was the state president for the NFB of Pennsylvania, and therefore, in a sense, the leader of the Pennsylvania delegation. And also for basically that entire length of time, I was also a member of the National Scholarship Committee. And as a member of the National Scholarship Committee, we would work with scholarship winners each year, and we might work with maybe six or seven of them one day at a time. Now one person per day at a convention, and show them what the convention was like from the leadership perspective. And I would say that the keepsakes that I have are probably those young people that I was able to mentor and who have then gone on to do work either for the organization as leaders, or maybe gone out into blindness related fields with other states, or, you know, whether in Pennsylvania or in other states. And who are doing things for other blind people. And I can sit back and say, well, you know, I've imparted a little piece of knowledge to either this person, that person, or another person. And every now and then I'll hear them talk, and I'll hear them say, well, I remember that Jim once said, and I thought, well, okay, I guess I've done my job. And that's, you know, that's what a lot of it was for me. So I think, you know, the things I collected were
living memorials.
Yeah. There you are.
Yeah, living memorials. Well, what do you guys think about our virtual experience? How have you found the virtual conventions compared to your many, many years of in person?
I liked it. I mean, I've really liked the virtual. I do miss seeing the people, to be honest. I really miss seeing the people. But I do like it. I mean, I will say there's been some convention banquets that being there, it was really hard to hear the speeches. And I loved it. You know, last year I could hear it clearly. Yeah. It was, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think that virtual has been great.
I think Connie's correct that the virtual is terrific because it allows you to get everything that first of all, in technology, I've seen a lot of organizations or I've known of a lot of organizations that have put these things together and they're forever having difficulties. But I think we've had the fewest amount of problems with the technology and all that of any organization that I've seen. The people who run it are really fantastic. What I miss in not being together is, as Connie indicated, the getting together with people and being able to answer questions that people have. Because I always joke about it and say, well, the real work of convention is done at lunch or maybe at the bar afterwards or whatever. In fact, here you are, Lisa. Do we remember sitting down? I forget whether it was in Orlando or whether it was in Las Vegas, with drinks in hand. And I can still remember you saying, well, now they talked about this. Mm-hmm. And can you explain that to me? Or I was wondering, tomorrow I've got, I can either go to this or that. If you have experience, can you tell me what I might find out what I might find out here, and so that I can decide which one is better?
Well, that had to be Vegas because that was my only one in person.
Okay, well, being able to do that with a person and being able to sit down and give them that advice or explain things that they needed explained is what a lot of it is about. That's what's fantastic about being at a convention in person. And the other thing I think that people don't realize is just navigating the hotel and getting to different meetings is that you don't realize, you might be in a hotel and you might say, now, how do I get from where I am to where that meeting is going to be? And you just happen to, stop someone or say, can you tell me where or how to get to, and you'll find out that other blind people are saying, oh, I know exactly where that is. Over here, do this and then make a turn there. But when you get down to the end, you'll feel a post over on your right and you want to go around that, and you're getting directions from another blind person that you can follow. It's not like, oh, it's over there, which is the way sighted people tend to direct you.
That's my biggest complaint about everything with that. Somebody will just say, yeah, just go over there. And right. Are they pointing?
You're not being led, you're being guided. And when you get there, you say, wow, that's terrific. I was able to do that. And think of how empowering that is.
And Jim, another thing that we have that I don't think any other conventions have, we have those callers, that are standing
there. Talking signs.
Yes, like in Las Vegas, it was over here, escalator over here, on my on my left,
yes.
Steps on the right.
Yep, we call them talking signs.
Yes.
Where someone will say, registration this way,
mm-hmm.
registration this way, or general sessions here, or board meeting this direction, this way.
That was really helpful so people didn't end up at the in the casino and instead of going to the meetings.
Which they probably didn't mind either, though.
Right. And I like how, you know, speaking of that, I've been thinking about that as I walked with people who were, you know, holding on to one another. The casino isn't built in a grid fashion, so it's not as easy to get out of. So, you know, as someone who's blind, you know you've got to go on this angle. And it's not just as easy. Okay, I'm going to make this left and cut through the casino. You got to make the left and then kind of continue to your left every few steps. And, you know, that became an issue. I know for some folks, I know, you know, I help people and my wife Liz was, you know, helping folks through that. And I did have to correct her because she said, "Oh, it's right over there." I said, "Liz, did you just point for them?"
We're always learning, no matter what. We're always learning. Well, Connie and Jim, this has been great. Thank you for taking time out and talking with us and all the listeners out there. But before we let you go, we wanted to give each of you a chance to share some words of wisdom, especially to those who unfortunately maybe their first convention is going to be virtual. What would you suggest they make sure they do? How can they maximize this experience, even though virtual? What are the kind of few tips they want to make sure they attend? We talked earlier about general session. What do you want to share? Jim, we'll start with you and we'll let Connie.
Well, I would say preparation. First of all, the agenda for the national convention is out, or if you're looking at next year, get it as soon as you can. If necessary, sit down with another person. Sit down with another blind person, whether it's over the phone or whatever. If that person can sit there with their screen reader and go over the agenda with you, even if it takes a couple days, and plan an agenda for yourself as to things that you would like to attend and where you'd like to go and all of that. Do that so that this way you have a general idea of what you wish to attend, where it is and when it is, so that you can in fact do that, and make your plan so that you can do that. If you're doing it in person, then make sure that, you know, you get up early enough and keep things going and, you know, get out there. And if you need to, you know, talk to your state president and find out, you know, is there someone who can help out now? You know, let's face it, the state president is not going to assign someone, you know, to be your you know, guide for 7 days in a row or whatever, but they can help you link up with other people so that then you can travel with people to help you get places and also be able to sit with them and ask questions if you need to. Learn. Mm-hmm. Learn as much as you can about the organization. Learn as much as you can about blindness. And learn as much as you can about the opportunities that the NFB has helped to create for you throughout its 80 plus years of history.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Connie?
I agree with everything, of course, that Jim is saying. You know, right up front, I agree. The agenda is a great thing. Go through it. Like I said, I've already read mine for this year. And next year, you know, we should be in person. And, you know, really, if you're a first-time person, try to make it to the rookie roundup. And, you know, even there, you might link up with some other rookies, you know, that, or somebody that's there wanting to help rookies to learn. And like Jim said, you know, learn as much as you can. Go to general session, go to the resolutions, try a variety of things. Make sure, of course, you go to the exhibit hall, but you'll want to spend a lot of time there. There's a ton of
and money.
Oh yeah, there's so much stuff. And then, you know, it's great to visit all the states because We were selling, I think last time, chocolate covered pretzels.
Yes.
Yeah, they were good. And then a lot of other states were selling good foods. I always like to see what foods they're selling.
Those chocolate covered pretzels are made about 10 miles from where I live. They're,
oh, wow.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, there's so many things there, though.
Okay.
And, you know, if you're interested in, you know, there's career things. And then if you're interested in a certain area, maybe, you know, try a division meeting and you might meet people and talk to them on what kind of jobs they have. There's so many opportunities to network. And no matter the age, I like the entertainment too. I'm already signed up for I always like the shows too.
Yeah. You know, the Comedy Hour. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, now that I know that Connie's going to be in New Orleans next year, Connie, we'll have to make sure that we get together at Pat O'Brien's for an evening.
Oh, absolutely. I was just in New Orleans a couple weeks ago. Oh,
wow. We expect Lisa and David to be there too.
You don't have to tell me twice.
Go. Oh, right. Yes.
Well, Connie, so
margaritas all around.
Yeah, it's such a great, great opportunity and a great opportunity to be new places and do tours. And, you know, you need a vacation when you're done, at least.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Connie, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Connie, from the Erie chapter, we appreciate you coming on tonight. We'll have to have you back when it is state convention time. I know we're not doing the normal auction this year, so I don't know what Buddy is going to do without his cookies. But we really appreciate your time tonight and hope things are going well out there in Erie. And Jim from the Keystone chapter, we're looking forward to having the convention banquet dinner at your house with the Keystone chapter in another week or so.
That'll be great.
Thanks again, you guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. So fun and informative. And guess we'll see you online.
Okay.
So, wow, David, I don't know about you, but I could have talked with Jim and Connie for much longer than our show would even allow. But what a wealth of information, and just seeing through their perspective how the convention has evolved over the years and how they are still just as excited now. You know, Connie was so excited about the app. They're just as excited now as they were 30 years ago, attending their first convention.
Right. I also thought it was interesting. I know, as you know, when we were in Vegas a few years ago, I like to do stuff outside of the convention. And it was interesting to hear about Jim going to the different ballparks and taking in major league games around the country, wherever the convention was. I thought that was very cool. And one other neat thing that I can mention, and we can talk about a little bit, Jim hosted the Keystone chapter at his house for a banquet picnic. And it was so nice to get together with everybody because it has been such a long time since we've seen each other. I mean, you know, it's probably almost a year and a half since we were last together, all of us.
Yeah. And this is a good time to thank Jim and Pat for hosting that. We had a beautiful day weather-wise. And as David said, we were meeting some of our chapter members for the first time because they joined during COVID. And when we were doing all of our meetings virtually, we got to meet Stacy face to face and Esther. So it was great to connect like that again. And, you know, I think I realized just how much we really need to be meeting in person sooner rather than later, but that was a great time.
Right. I mean, and we really did get lucky with the weather that day. And I guess what we can roll into now is, you know, talking about national convention, state convention is coming up in November. And that is something that I know I'm looking forward to out in Harrisburg. So wherever you are in Pennsylvania, get ready to plan for it. And it's the 11th through the 14th of November. You can head to nfbp.org/convention. You'll find all the information there and the link to register. And I know, Lisa, I'm going. I'm assuming you're going.
I am going because I think we have planned to broadcast live from Harrisburg. So yes, I better be there.
I'm looking forward to that. I've never done a show in front of people before, but I think that would be interesting and fun.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
And I'm sure Harriet will be there to do the door prizes, which I don't know if you listened to the convention. I know you did because you called me because I had stopped listening at this point, but I actually won a door prize at the national convention and I'm looking forward to.
Congratulations again.
Thank you. Yes. I'm looking forward to getting my, and Jim was, as I mentioned to you before we recorded, Jim was the first to call me and we were out taking the dog for a walk and had just walked back in the door and he said, call, you gotta email in, you won. Yeah. And at that point, I didn't even know what it was I won. So it's kind of cool. I won $100 from the Independence Market, which I can't wait to get a talking scale for my bathroom because I can't see the scale that I use. You know, it's even with the huge numbers and whatnot. Yeah. So looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And before we go, I did want to mention a couple of things. One other thing is a statewide event. And it's the raffle tickets. They are for the in October, runs October 1st through the 31st, the nighttime drawing of the Pennsylvania three-digit number. We run a raffle that coincides with that, though it's not sponsored by the Pennsylvania Lottery. You buy a ticket.
So it doesn't benefit senior citizens every day?
No, it just benefits blind people. And blind people, in this instance, blind people and scholarships. And so it's a great cause. The tickets are $5. I know for the Keystone chapter, Harriet Goh is the one that is the one in charge of selling them, although I'm collecting the money and the tickets. So if you're not in the Keystone chapter, contact your president of your local chapter and get the tickets from them. They're $5. You get a three-digit number. If that three-digit number comes out on any of the days, Sunday through Friday, you win $50. If it comes out on Saturday, you win $100. The best part is you don't have to watch every night. Hey, I won. I better call in. I better send somebody an email. You don't have to do any of that. Mm-hmm. Once we have your ticket stub, it is entered and the state affiliate will send you a check. So it's very easy to do. So please contact your state or your chapter president if you would like to purchase tickets. If you're not affiliated with any chapter, Harriet Goh can be contacted and she will gladly sell you those and probably some M&Ms as well while you're on the line with her. And finally, we've mentioned in the first episode, if you're a chapter president or division leader, we'd like to know what's going on in your chapter. Are you doing any fundraisers? Are you doing anything? Lisa, I know you've purchased one. I've purchased one. Keystone Chapter is doing t-shirts. They are an Irish green. They've got the NFB logo, Keystone Chapter logo on the front, which mm-hmm. is familiar with everyone because it's basically every chapter and state affiliate uses the same logo, just obviously with the different words. It says National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania has the logo above that. And then above that on an arc, it says Keystone Chapter. Then on the back of the shirt, it says Live the Life You Want, which is so appropriate, I think, mm-hmm. you know, for us all. And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing those shirts once they come in, probably another couple of weeks yet. But do you have anything to add about the t-shirts, Lisa?
Yeah, I placed my order and I think I'm going to encourage some friends who buy a raffle and a t-shirt.
There you go. There you go. It's t-shirts. We're selling the t-shirts for $20. If you want a t-shirt, you can go over to the Keystone Chapter page on the NFB website, NFB of Pennsylvania website, nfbp.org/Keystone Chapter. Scroll down and you'll see the button to buy the t-shirts. I believe they go up to 4X, so mm-hmm. you can certainly make that purchase. The Keystone Chapter would appreciate that, and you'll get a cool t-shirt out of it as well.
Yeah, and just again, you know, send us your pitches, your feedback to whitecanesconnect@gmail.com.
And we do appreciate that. We did hear from a few people after the first episode, and we do appreciate that feedback. And again, if you're a chapter president or division leader, please contact us and let us know what you're doing so we can put it here and everyone could know about it. Obviously, as Jim always says, you know, why keep dipping your hand into your own pocket? Let's reach out and get more folks to help each division and chapter do things in their communities to help blind folks in their local community. So again, please reach out, as Lisa mentioned, whitecanesconnect@gmail.com. Lisa, it's been another great show.
Yes, thank you, David. Thank you for all those listeners out there. Keep the ideas and the feedback coming, and we'll see you next time.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.